Welcome one more time to the meditation of the Word of God. Like always, we have good news. And I hope, I believe, this morning you are going to be built in the confidence and the trust in the Lord God Almighty. You know how there is this campaign in the world of frightening the people, put the people to live under fear. But we know the Spirit that God has given to us, the Holy Spirit, is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Spirit of faith, self-control, all those fruits that the Holy Spirit is producing in our life. You know how the scripture says, I want you to be strong and courageous. Amen. That is what we are. People that are strong and courageous. But today we are going to be focusing in how to display our strength, our courage. And we are going to be doing it, study or looking at two fruits that are or belong to the Holy Spirit. And he said he wanted to see them in our life. These two fruits are the fruit of patience and the fruit of faith. This is how, at the end, we will show in this last day our strength and courage. To begin with, I invite you to come to one of the verses we read last week in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16. For those that had not heard yet the word of last week, we titled The Net. I invite you to go to our web page and listen to it, and then you will be able to understand even more what we are saying today. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. This is the answer Peter gave to the Lord Yeshua. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." This word is the word that says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail." We are going to be looking into this and know why the gates of hell cannot prevail. And today we are going to be seeing, remind, because we are not going to be saying anything new, but we are going to be remembering that the church was created first, before anything else. There was nothing in the face of the earth when God created the church. Because Jesus said here, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven." The revelation that the Christ, that the Son of the living God, Jesus says, this truth is a rock, and in this truth, my church will be built. Because the Messiah was before the creation, because he is from the beginning. Then, in that truth, the church was built. Sometimes we think that the church starts when the disciple, after Jesus' resurrection, start to preach, and many joined to the church and became huge numbers, first in Jerusalem, then later in Judea, and so on. But the church was found in that rock, in that truth that is Yeshua, the Son of the living God. And because it is the Son, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And we are going to read verse 22. That passage that we read in Matthew, Jesus said to Peter, "I'm giving you the key of the kingdom." All right? But what is the key? Well, now we are going to see here what is the key. Because the key is the sharing, is the preaching, is declaring that Jesus is Christ, and on Him the church is being built. That is why when you preach the kingdom and you preach repentance, you are opening the door of the kingdom for the person that's listening to you to be part of that church. It's not just Peter alone who has the key, but he started. And it said in this chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. God appointed Yeshua as the Christ, and God showed his election when did all these signs and wonders through the Messiah. We already see or learn that the gates of hell cannot prevail." Well, let's see what wonder, what miracle took place that the gates of hell could not prevail. But is God doing his job? This is not something the man made. It's God. And he's very peculiar when he do his work, because he's not going to share his glory with idols. And last week when we were talking about this worldly idea that all ways lead to the Father, we already learned that no way. Jesus told us, no one come to the Father except through me. Then continue verse 23. "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge." God has a plan. It was not an accident. We already saw about this last week. Then let's go forward. "With the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." This is the wonder that God did to show that the gates of hell could not prevail against the church, because he is that rock in which the church is being built. And this is a plan that God has way back before there was anything made. You were already there. You were already there because the church was made first. We continued. David said about him. Remember we had various weeks talking about prophecy and Psalms? Well, here we have another one. What we are going to be reading now is about the church and the rock built in this rock. "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." See, there is a big campaign now I mentioned to you about fear, to create intimidation in the people and to make the people tremble at the falling of a dead leaves from a tree. But what the Lord says, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." No matter what happened, the church cannot be destroyed. And how are we going to show our courage? With patience and faith. Let's continue. Verse 26. "Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will live and hope." My body also will live and hope. "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." The gates of hell cannot prevail, because the prophecy says, "I will not be abandoned to the grave." The grave can show his wrath. The grave can show his paw, his nail. Hell can show to us all the power they can display, but that rock in which the church is built will not be abandoned to the grave. Neither the Holy One will see decay. Not only the church is indestructible, but it's not going to be seeing decay. It's a building that every day is being renewed and strengthened. And who is the church? Yet we already say last week, it's not a building. It's you. You are being renewed day by day because you have been shown the path of life. And that's going together with what Proverbs tell us. The life of the righteous one is like the light of dawn. They go and increase him until the day is complete. It's perfect. That is your path. That is where you are going. Now, hell is going to try to intimidate. Only try because that's all what they can do. Nothing else. They cannot touch you. Like the Lord says, do not fear those that kill the body. Because after that, they can do nothing else. But this is not only being said in regard to the Lord's resurrection. But these prophecies is in regard to the church that's built upon the rock. Because what is the body of Christ? The church is the body of Christ. And he said that his body will not be abandoned to the grave. Then the church is not allowed to remain there. Cannot be there. We continue reading. Brother, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God has promised him on oath that he will place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, and he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see, what you now see, and hear. Jesus is the one that caused for the Holy Spirit to come over the church, who is his body, to perform this mighty act of the resurrection, or if you want it, come to be known, come to be seen. The church was in God's heart, but when the time arrived, this is how he started this preaching, this sharing, this opening the gate of the kingdom. When the time arrived, then God started to act, doing everything that was necessary for the gates of hell not to prevail against the church. The Holy Spirit character is a very, very peculiar and I will say specialized and difficult situation. Can you imagine the body of Christ, that rock, inside of the cave, the grave, with that stone covering the entrance? It was a dark situation, hopeless situation. But the Holy Spirit came, specializing in impossible, and when they looked, there was no future, no hope, life flow. Because in that dark grave, light shine. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives life, is the one that produces the life. Now I would like to bring you to a very interesting passage. And here in Genesis chapter 1, I wanted you to see something. We already heard from Peter that God has this plan, that Jesus was not arrested and crucified just because it was the lucky day of the bad people. No, the gates of hell never has a good day. In fact, they do know their time is running out. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It tells us that God is the creator. And we know, because of the scriptures, that nothing of what has been made was made, if not through him. I don't want to run ahead. I will go step by step because I wanted you to see that God do not improvise. God take time. And why God take time? Because God is patient. The Spirit of God is patient and he is full of faith. He believed that what he said will be done. He believed. Faith and patience are characters of God's Spirit. Now, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the depth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. This reminds me of another situation where he specialized in difficult. The grave was dark. Now here, the earth was formless. When there is formless, there is no life. On top of that, was empty. It could not produce life. And if that was not enough, there was darkness. Darkness was already there. But who else was already there? The Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is always the one that take the word and from that word produce life. And this condition, we arrive to verse 3, and God says, you know, God opened his mouth and God declared what he has in his mind. That's what Peter told us, that he has a plan. And what was this plan? The first thing of all in his mind was, let there be light. What is that? The decision that Yeshua will accomplish of building his church upon that rock. It was not a coincidence that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Because the decision was made first. Light came into the midst of this darkness. And what happened when light came into the midst of this darkness? First of all, there was light and God saw that that light was good. I know many people today say the church is not good because the church preach repentance. How can they be good? They can't. God saw the light is good and separated the light from darkness. Here is where reside the power that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Because God decide to separate them. They cannot mix. On top of that, darkness can do nothing for light to not shine. It's going to continue. And he said, and God called the light day. We are going to see later this. We are going to read it. But who is the children of the day? You. God called you the church, the day. And why Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt. You are the light. Because you are children of the day. You are not children of the darkness. In fact, darkness has nothing to do with you anymore. From the beginning, didn't have anything to do with you. Because God chose you. And I'm not going to go again today about that. Last week, we talked about how God chose those that choose him, believe in him. And the darkness he called night. And that's the same thing to say, the children of darkness, they are under his wrath. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. See, the church came first. The children of the day came first. And then God went ahead and did the rest of the creation. In the Gospel of John, we can read a few verses. First chapter, we are going to read from verse 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read, when God said, let there be light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. I think it's very clear. When Jesus said, I am building my church upon this rock, this truth, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I am building. He was the maker of everything. And without him, nothing was made. He made the church that day, the first day. And verse 4, and in him was life, and the life was the light of man. See? Before, there was no possibility for anything to be alive because the earth was empty, formless, could not produce life until the Lord arrived to put a separation between light and darkness. And that life became the light of man. The church became the light of man. Everyone that is in darkness can come to the light and be saved. But you need to repent. That is the message. You can have life. Come out of darkness. And I love the next one. Verse 5. The light shine in darkness. See, darkness cannot prevent it. Today, they are going to try to intimidate you that you will not preach repentance. Don't talk about that word. This week, I was watching again a little bit of this publicity video of the Great Reset. And it's amazing how many words they use it, starting with the word RE, reinvented, recycled. Yes, I wanted to use 100, but they use so many of them in the video. And they ended with the last one, reset. That was the last one. The Great Reset. We are going to make this world good. Like I told you last week, I repeated this week. They are forgetting the most important RE, repent. Without repented, there is not reset. Sorry, it's more of the same. And what we are seeing is the earth vomiting its inhabitants because of their evil ways. The light shine in the darkness. You are really powerful. And how you shine? With patience and faith. But darkness has not understood it. Even though they use this word here, I like much more the one they use at the foot of the page. Because it said that darkness will not overcome. It's much greater than understanding. Yes, they had to understand that they are not going to be able to overcome. The gates of hell cannot prevail. And it's written from the beginning. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What are we talking? That the key, the open the kingdom is repentance. The Holy Spirit will guide you into this kingdom, but you have to enter through the door. And the door is Christ, the rock in which the church is being built. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath can on those who are disobedient. They wanted to continue in their disobedient. They wanted to continue it with no talking about repentance, no need of turning around, no pay attention, God's word whatsoever. Obviously, how are they going to listen to what God said? Because you know, God said, respect private property. He said, do not covet your neighbor's donkey. You do not covet your neighbor's land or house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. He believes that you are the owner of your private things. But with the Great Reset, they wanted to tell you, you will own nothing and be happy. Yeah, of course they don't want to listen to him because God said you had to respect private property. You cannot steal. You cannot lie. You cannot kill. They don't want to listen to this. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partnered with them. Yeah, we read in Genesis. There is no communion between light and darkness. Or you are with me, or you are against me. Jesus said, there is no middle ground. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Yeah, we were darkness. That is why we had to repent it, to be part of the church. And that is what Peter said to the people. Repent and believe. He opened the door. Somebody opened the door for me when they preached the gospel to me and say, you need to repent. And I believe it because I was in darkness. I was dead in my sin and my rebellions. And I was under God's wrath because I was a disobedient person. But now you are part of that church. They cannot be destroyed. You are a child of the light. Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light become visible, for it is the light that make everything visible. Yeah, it was the church in the beginning, the exposed darkness. That is why God said, and the light was good, and the church is good. Don't be intimidated. You are good because God says the child of the light is an obedient child, and that is the one they give the opportunity to others that are in darkness to come. We do not participate with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but we are exposing them. That is what verse 11 says. We need to expose. Oh, well, do you think they are going to like this? I doubt. But we need to, with patience and faith, we need to expose. Because look, and verse 14. For it is light that make everything visible. It's the church that's going to make them to see that what they are doing is evil. You know what they are trying to say? I have my rights. Or the other thing are, I had to decide about my body. I'm now thinking about women's. And I decide, and with my body, if the baby can live or die. You know, we are the one that exposed that evil. You don't shed innocent blood. Cry out to God about your evil. We read here, and finishing the verse 14. This is what it says. Wake up, O sleepers, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When a person is dead in sins and rebellion, we have to wake them up with our preaching of the gospel, with the message of repentance, because if they accept it, they will come out of their sleepiness. They will rise from the dead because they will be part of the church. And then the gates of hell cannot overcome the light. That is the triumph of the church. And Christ will shine through that sinner that has repented forever. The church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now we go to Revelation in chapter 13. Here is the verse that I have been talking all along. Chapter 13, we start reading verse 6. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name in his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. This is the beast, the Antichrist, the man of perdition. We already talked about him last week. I'm not going to go too deep now in his figure because today is different. What we are dealing with, okay? But he liked to blaspheme God in his dwelling place. Verse 7, he was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All right? These were that he received power to make war against the saints. Yeah, it's true. He had received power. You know, in the days of our Lord Yeshua, darkness received power to take away Jesus' life. And we already read the preaching of Peter. It was God's plan. That is why they could crucify Jesus. All right. It's God's plans. All right. That he will wage war against you. But don't forget that the gates of hell cannot prevail. Yes, he can wage war because he do not like what you share. You talk about repentance and he don't like that. You talk about worshiping God and he don't like that because he wanted to be worshipped. But this is the point. Let's go forward. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Verse 8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, will worship him. All whose name have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. All except the church is formed by those whose names are written in the book of life. And when the disciple came, very happy because, Lord, even demons submit to us. The Lord said, don't rejoice for that. Better rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. That is the motive of your joy. Not that he waged war against you. That's nothing. What is important to remember is that your name is written in the book of life because you repent. That is what caused your name be written. And it was written there before he formed you in your mother's womb. Because this, and the psalm say, or my days went before you, my beginning, my end. But that even happened before he waves me in my mother's womb. When he said, let there be light. And the light was there. It were your name was written in the book of life. God knew all your days from the beginning. Then what happened now? What should I expect now to show that you are strong and courageous? Because you know you're not going to worship the beast or his image. Because the one who died for you is the Lamb that was slain. And he was appointed to be slain, decided to be slain, even from the beginning of the world, when God built the church. This is what is important now, and you should expect to see next. Verse 9. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be healed with the sword he will be killed. All right? This doesn't mean that the church is being destroyed. That is not possible. This is a time for the Holy Spirit and you. We finish reading the verse. This call for patient endurance and the faithfulness on the part of the saint. Faithful endurance. Or if you want it more clearly, faithful endurance is patient. Endurance, patient. Faithful is faithfulness, is faith, is remain firm. But we read in verse 12 of the next chapter, this call for patient endurance on the part of the saint who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. This is how the church in these last days is showing their strength, courage. This is how you are going to act. God put before us life and death, blessing, curses. You have to choose. But he said, choose life, choose blessing. That is obedience. A child that is obedient to his commandments. That we are going to need a lot of patience? Yes. That our faith is going to be tested? Yes. That you can be destroyed? No, you can't. What is the reason? Because you are very strong No, because your name is written in the book of life. That is the reason. Nothing else. No merit. We are victorious because of what Jesus did. And when he said, I am building my church on this truth, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, they can. It's so impossible as trying darkness, trying to push light out of the room. It's impossible. They can't. But that is what this man is going to try to do. Waging war, pushing light out of the room. The church cannot be destroyed. The first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And who is the one in you? We have the Trinity with us, okay? Because the promise of the Father is that he will give us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And when we have communion with the Holy Spirit, we have a communion with the Father and with the Son. We have a communion with the Trinity. That is why the one is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. And that is why we have seen this cloud of witness the Hebrew tell us in chapter 11, that they were so willing to give up their lives, if that was what the Lord desired, because their eyes were fixed on something that's greater. And the kingdom, they have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, that has no comparison with what we have here. Verse 5 says, they are from the world, therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listen to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listen to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. See, this is another way to recognize that you are built on the church. Because when you open your mouth, the world don't want to listen to you. Because the world see, you are not one of us. You do not speak like we do. Why do you think they accuse us of being denials? They accuse us of being denial. We don't deny anything. What we don't believe is that you are going to fix things in the way you are proposing. Of course we believe the thing can be changed, but you have to repent. There's no change if you don't repent. That is why they don't listen to us, because we are not of the world. And all what we need to do is open our mouth, and they will recognize. I jump a scripture here because of time, but I want it. It's so important that not only the world recognize that you are not of the world, but even hell know who you are. And I brought this morning the passage of those seven sons of a man, I think named Esevas. They were going around casting out demons, says, in the name of Jesus, the one that Paul preached, come out of this man. And the demon replies to them, I know who Jesus is, and I know Paul, but you? I don't know you. See, the gates of hell know who you are, and they know you by name, because they know your name is written in the book of life. And when they see you, they tremble, because they say, uh-oh, now we are in trouble, because light is here, and they're going to start opening their mouth and talking about repentance, and that is trouble for us. The gates of hell cannot prevail. Let's finish. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is on my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Isn't it beautiful? This is written for you Because you are being built in that rock that cannot be removed. They cannot, the gates of hell cannot. Now here's the faith, the faithfulness, the patient endurance of those that obey God's commandments. Let's say, proclaim it. The Lord is always before me. Because he is on my right hand, I will not be shaken. The Lord is with you because the Spirit of the living God dwell in you. You cannot be shaken. My brother, my sister, just remember this. Because it's the time not to be intimidated, not to be shaken. Do not let anything shake you. Be patient. Have faith. Because the arm of the Lord is not short. It's strong and mighty to do everything that he has promised. And he will do it. What I mean? He is doing it. You can see when you open your mouth, they don't recognize you as one of the world. Praise the Lord, because I do not want to be. Let me be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And let's put first the kingdom and its righteousness, because all other things are going to be added. The Lord bless you, keep you, and shine his face upon you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all what you have done and how you have brought to us the word of truth that set us free. Because when we know, knowing is power, what you are doing in us, bringing more and more light, like Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, let there be light. And it's inside of us, this light, the shine upon all men, no matter what they do, they cannot prevail. And we give you the honor and the glory for this great victory. In Jesus' name, amen.